we only have in the IG's report. And the report of the IG, like we said yesterday, will be dealing with our different provinces, about what is happening in our different provinces when it comes to the financial reports. And with those short words, I would like to welcome each and every one at the meeting. And I think what will be important is for members to introduce themselves. But today we're not going to speak about provinces. It will just be everyone is from South Africa. And they belong to this committee. We'll start with Honorable Gina.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, everyone. I'm Nomalu Ngelogina, from South Africa, which is I'm the member of the But Chair, even if it is so, I was interested because when I looked around, I saw so many people from Limpopo, but I wasn't sure. That is why I said I was going to find out when we were saying our provinces, but it's fine. Let us listen.
I think
you are allowed
to sound from
I thought when you look around and see people from your province being many, then you want us to call our provinces so that you prove a point. When it's other provinces, you keep quiet about it. But we are fine, we're not complaining.
I think the engine has come from Limpopo
too. Okay, I'm Simon Smokwell, a member of the committee.
A committee member, Walmart J. South African citizen.
I'm Willie Madisha, member of the committee. Thank you.
Yeah, Chairperson, you're sitting with a challenge because I come from the north. I'm sure that speaks a volume. My name is Foni Mushwana, and I'm a member of this community. And I'm okay.
My name is Crosby Mori, a member of the committee. SA.
Kalan Balori, legislator for the Select Committee on Education and Recreation.
I'm Rewan Mada, researcher for this committee. Thank you.
Dennis Bali, content advisor for the committee.
I'm Temba Kubula from Parliamentary Communication Services.
Mason Gove from the Auditor General.
Godfrey Daly from the HS office.
Good morning, Pam Benny, PMG.
Good morning, Chantal Bell, ANC Study Group Basic Education.
Good morning, Alistine October from the Burger.
And then we have Luella. And then?
Parliamentary Official.
Thanks a lot for the introduction. I think there's quite a number of apologies. Will you just read out the apologies, please?
Mr. J.J.S. Kosana from ANC, and then Mr. D. Smiles from DA, Mr. Mponchana from IFP, Ms. Dudley from ACPP, and Mr. DeCobo from Azabro. Thank you.
Those were all honorable members, as noted, because there are other meetings on this morning. They said if they can make it, they'll come this way too. Thank you. Everyone has introduced themselves. I'll open the meeting now for the AG to speak to the report, the AG's report, and the members of the provinces and our entities. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning. In front of you and the slides, we have the report on the outcomes of the provinces. We have included the national department, but it will be clear where it is categorized. We've also included the sector report on specific focus areas within the basic education sector. And these talk to the predetermined objectives of the education sector. So this morning we'll be presenting to you two things, the audit outcomes as a comparison within the education sector, and the sector report on specific focus areas. There were seven areas that we focused in when we prepared the sector report. Chairperson, I have with me Godfrey Ale, who is the senior manager responsible for the national education portfolio. He will be presenting this report to you. Chairperson, I need to highlight that the provincial departments are audited by our in the provinces. So what we have done, we have consolidated the reports to present to this parliament. We will be in a position to indicate what the results are, what it means. However, when you go into the detail of the findings and exactly what it is, we might not be able to give you the exact details. We will need our colleagues to do that, but we'll give you a broad idea of what is happening in these provinces. The report will indicate if there are any improvements. And I think of greater challenge is that we've traveled a journey now in terms of auditing the predetermined objectives relating to service delivery. I think this is 2010-11 results, and this is the fifth year that we as the Auditor General audited predetermined objectives. We started in 2005-06 financial year. And again, the opinion on predetermined objectives is indicated in the management report and not in the audit report. And what is in the audit report is the factual findings relating to this. But however, the opinion is in the management report. In here, we indicate the percentage provincial departments that received a certain opinion, that we are not naming these entities, as this is in specific individual management report of the provinces audit report. And I was saying, Chairperson, that the greatest challenge is to get those entities where intervention is required to improve and to get clean outcomes, audit outcomes. As we know that the government initiative is to get clean opinions within the public sector by 2014. So there needs to be clear action plans and drive towards achieving this clean administration, clean audit outcome by 2014. And again, the challenge is for those that have recorded good outcomes for a number of years to sustain the good outcome. And I think the challenge is to find out from these specific entities, do they have what it takes to sustain the good outcomes and not to regress? I think in the education portfolio, we've seen a number of regressions, and we need to ask ourselves why these regressions take place, because we cannot keep moving back. We need to progress. Sustainability is very, very critical, and associated with sustainability of good outcomes, we are saying the entities at all levels must engage in making sure that information that they produce is credible and is reliable. So there must be visible initiatives to ensure that quarterly reports coming to this committee from the different entities and departments is credible and reliable. And that the committee must hold departments and entities accountable to confirm to the committee that the information that they present to this committee is credible and reliable. And this also is a challenge.
internal audit, to audit committees to make sure that information coming from the entities and the departments is reliable and credible. And with that, Chairperson, if you will allow me to hand over to my colleague Godfrey Ale to then present the two reports to the committee. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, ma'am. I'll hand over to you, sir, to present the report.
I will just start by showing us how much we spend on education. That is on slide 4. The education sector is costing the government 146 billion, of which 143 billion was spent on that. We indicated the allocation to each province and the actual expenditure per province. Moving into the next slide are the audit outcomes on the education sector. The education sector, I'm looking at 9 provinces and the national department, 10 in total. Now, looking at this balloon, we noticed that on the green area, there were no financially unqualified audit opinions with no audit reports with no findings. If the audit opinions were clean, there were findings on the audit report that could relate it. They could have related to non-compliance and other related matters, which is a concern. We look at the yellow area. We are saying 40% of the entities in the education sector receive financially unqualified opinions with other findings reported in the audit report. 50% of the entities received modified audit opinions, which were qualifications, and 10%, which related to one province, received a claim of audit opinion. On this slide, we show you what are the specific entities and their related audit opinions. The one area that was sitting on the red balloon is on the top of the display with the disclaimer, which represented 10% of the on the red balloon. And we also noticed the redress on KwaZulu-Natal, which is also related in red. They had a qualified audit opinion last day. It is a redress. They had a qualified opinion, they say. And we had 4 that are unqualified and 0, which was one what was unqualified and 4 that were unqualified but with matters reported in the audit report. And we also had 4 that were qualified. This diagram shows you the movement in the audit outcomes. Mpumalanga, Limpopo and Northwest is an improvement, even though for Limpopo and Northwest, it doesn't really look good. They had...
Chair, if I may, just the information question. It says at the top the health sector. That's wrong, is it?
Yes, sorry. That's
okay.
It's supposed to be saying education sector. Thanks for this. Okay. Limpopo and Northwest, we show the an improvement. It's just a movement from one category of a modified audit opinion to the other one. They had disclaimers or adverts in the prior year and the progress of qualification. That's why we are saying it's an improvement, even though the opinion still doesn't look good. Financially unqualified with findings, there was improvement on Mpumalanga. Eastern Cape still stays the same. They had a disclaimer last year. We still experienced a disclaimer. They KZN, unfortunately, there was a request. They moved into qualification. They were unqualified last year. Free State and Northern Cape, they're sitting on qualifications. They had qualifications last year. National Department, DPE, Western Cape and Gauteng Province, they still haven't changed. They had unqualified with other methods reported in the audit report. In total, that's the overall movement in the audit opinions in the education sector. On the next slide, we show you the 3-year progress in the education sector audit outcomes. In 2009, 40% of the entities received unqualified audit opinions with matters reported in the audit report, and 60% had modified audit opinions. It's still the same situation. They say 40% unqualified with other matters, 60% qualified. Even down the on the past slide, we showed some improvement in certain areas, but those still related to modification of audit opinions. In 2008-09, it was 50-50. There is a slight improvement from 2008-09 to 9-10, but we haven't noticed much improvement from 9-10 to 10-11. We are now on this slide comparing the education sector to other sectors. Departments. We're comparing that to health, human settlement, public work, social development, and other departments, as well, just to show you where education is sitting. 40% are unqualified with other matters, 10% modified audit of disclaimer, and 50% of them were qualified. So you can see the trend, and we can see where education is sitting when compared to the other sectors.
Can I just elaborate further? I think if we look at the education sector and compare to the health sector, in terms of the disclaimer or adverse opinion, health has 20% while education has 10, and health has 60% of financially unqualified with findings, while education has 50%. And if you go to human settlements versus education, human settlements has 60% financially unqualified with findings, while education is sitting at 40%. And if you go to the social development, for argument's sake, you know, they have no disclaimer of opinions. Human settlements has no disclaimer of opinions, and they have 10% financially unqualified with no findings. And with no findings, it means that they had no findings on predetermined objectives, they had no findings on compliance with rules and regulations. And the last column is all the other departments together, where they have recorded 19% clean outcomes and 64% with findings on predetermined objectives and compliance with rules and regulations. So that's sort of the comparison that we are giving on the slide.
Thanks a lot.
On the next slide, we are showing for only entities that received modified audit opinions, what were the areas qualified in the financial statements. In total, 6 entities received modified audit opinions, and we are only talking to those 6. 67% of the 6 entities we are referring to had challenges with capital assets, current assets. We are looking at 50% in the current liabilities. We're talking accruals and expenditure management, 67%. Other disclosure items, these are the disclosure notes to the financial statements, 67% had a challenge. We can see from the trend that there isn't much improvement on capital assets. Liabilities have gone worse. Disclosure notes, financial statements, things are not looking good. On our extreme right, we're looking at the income statement. We're looking at revenue. Fortunately for revenue, we did not encounter any challenges. There were no areas to be qualified on revenue management. Last year, we had 17% challenges. Expenditure management, there is an improvement there from 67% to 33%. Unauthorized, irregular, and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which is a pending issue, there is no improvement there. On this slide, we are talking now of material corrections that were made to the financial statements as a result of the audit. These were issues that were identified by the audit in all departments in the education sector. On capital assets, 40% of the issues there were identified by the audit and were brought to management for correction. Current assets, we are looking at 30%. It has gone worse from 11% to 30%. Liabilities, overall in the entire education sector, there's a 2% increase improvement there. Disclosure notes, it has gone worse by 1%. Revenue, even though it wasn't qualified because management effected the corrections to the financial statements, it was 20%. Expenditure increased from 22 to 40%. Unauthorized, fruitless, wasteful, and irregular expenditure moved from 67% to 90%. And capital and reserves, statement of changes in net assets, we're talking of 10%. On this slide, we are now talking to what I talked to earlier on the other slide, unauthorized and irregular expenditure. in the 2009-10, we had 2.2 billion of unauthorized expenditure in the education sector. There was an improvement to 959 million in the year under review. Looking at irregular expenditure in the 19 we had 1.6 billion. In the current year, we have 5.5 billion. And the green area there, the 4.3 billion, that were the adjustments that had to be made as a result of the audit. In the entire education sector, the irregular expenditure was understated by 4.3 billion. And it, if it was not for the audit effort, the financial statement wouldn't have been corrected and would have not fairly reflected the irregular expenditure by 4.3 billion. And unauthorized expenditure, then we are indicating which provinces incurred those balances that we indicated on the graph. Overspending on main division of the vote, we are looking at 868 million. Spending that was not in accordance with the purpose of the vote, we are looking at 89 million there. And compared to 910, in total, we had 2.1 billion. Irregular expenditure. We also show what were the provinces that incurred this irregular expenditure, and we can see the Eastern Cape is at the top of the list, looking at supply chain management processes non-compliance at 1.9 billion, and also compensation of employees, irregular expenditure, also sitting at 1.9 billion. This doesn't really look good, but and you can also look at the bottom line that, you know, there was a regress. In the 9-10, we're looking at 1.5 billion in the education sector. In the current year, you need to look at the two balances, the 0.3 billion and the 2 billion. So we're looking at 5 billion. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure here, for the 10-11, 2.4, 24 million was already identified and disclosed in the financial statements when they were presented for audit, and the green area 148 million was as a result of the audit effort. The financial statements were materially understated on fruitless and wasteful expenditure by 148 million, talking of the education sector, all 10 or all 10 entities. For the 19, unfortunately, we didn't, in the 19 we didn't split the regular expenditure to indicate how much was presented when the financial statements were submitted for audit and how much was identified as a result of the audit effort. But going forward, we will be providing this statistics indicating what was the audit effort and what were the results. On fruitless and wasteful expenditure, as well, we indicate the provinces that incurred the fruitless and wasteful expenditure and the related amounts as well. We didn't do well. In the 19 year, we were sitting at 105 million. Now we have moved up to 171 million. These are the internal control deficiencies that we identified. We are not necessarily saying all these were applicable to one entity, but we are saying these were the common challenges that we identified in the education sector in total. In other cases, more than one of these were applicable to a specific entity. So this is what we identified as the audit through the audit process as a challenge in the education sector. We then move to our conclusions on predetermined objectives. As it's indicated that we are not expressing an opinion, we only conclude in the management report what the opinion would have been had we were supposed to express an opinion on the audit report. In the education sector, 30% were unqualified, which is a good move from last year where we had 40%. The qualified ones are 20%, the adverse we had one which is 10%, and disclaimer 40%. On this slide, we are showing you the areas that led to the conclusions we had in predetermined objectives. For the 9-10, 70% had challenges with the compliance matters. This year is 80%, So there's an increase there, it's a request of 10%. Information not useful. We are sitting at 40%, which is a 20% increase from last year. Information reported not reliable, we are looking at 50%, which is an improvement of 10% from last year. And we are also looking at the presentation, where there were no matters that related to the presentation. Also, to determine objectives, we analyzed the root causes to say what gave rise to those findings that we reported, the conclusions we reported in the management report. And these were the areas that were mainly common within the education sector. And again, not necessarily saying that they are all applicable to one entity, but it's for the education sector in total. We also looked at the compliance with laws and regulations, and these are the audit outcomes on the compliance with laws and regulations. The biggest challenges there related to procurement and contract management, which explains the irregular expenditure that we talked to. We also had challenges with expenditure management, which can also inform the irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and to a certain extent also unauthorized expenditure. And the next highest one there related to the annual financial statements and annual report. I already indicated the conclusions on the annual report, treatment objectives, and also financial statements. You saw the audit effort that had to go in place to make sure that certain critical balances are fairly stated in the financial statements. And I will move to the next slide there, where we now zoom into the areas of compliance within the supply chain management, which is a big challenge. The biggest issue there was uncompetitive and unfair procurement processes by the education department. And the next critical issue that we need to be looking at is awards that are made to officials, to state officials and their close family members. This is something that we need to be looking at as well. And we also, the next biggest issue there was a limitation on planned scope of audit of awards, where certain documentation we had challenges with that didn't really satisfy the audit process. And we also analyzed the root causes to say what drove those conclusions specifically on compliance with supply chain management and procurement regulations. We also looked at the IT control focus areas. These transversal systems are producing this information. Hence, it makes sense that we also will look at the control environment on these transversal systems. The three biggest issues there were IT service continuity, facility and environment controls, and security management. And if you have problems with these kind of issues, then user account management. With these four issues, that creates an environment that is not conducive, and that can subject the department to fraudulent transactions going through the system because of security issues on these transversal systems, particularly bus.
Chairperson, I would like to then conclude on the outcomes that my colleague has presented. If you look at slide 25, this slide must be read together with the root causes, the bubbles that we have presented that talk to the root causes. Now, Chairperson, if you'll allow me, we in our audit reports, we conclude on internal control. And there are three aspects of internal control. This is leadership, it's financial and performance management, and it's governance. Now, the driver to improve audit outcomes, talking to the root causes, they summarize the three aspects of internal control. Now, if you look at slide 25, under leadership, there's a number of aspects there. One is effective leadership culture, oversight responsibility number two, HR management, policy and procedures, action plans, and IT. Now, the red means that intervention is required in this area. The yellow means that there are intervention in place and progress is underway. But we're not quite happy, but something has been done. And the green means that there are good controls in place. Now, if you look at effective leadership culture, what we are saying is 20% of the entities, intervention is required to make sure that the leadership culture is what it should be. At 40% of the entities, it is in progress, there's good progress in place. And at 40%, the leadership culture is effective. If you look at the oversight responsibility, we are saying that at 80% of the entities within the education sector, oversight responsibility by leadership needs intervention. So there isn't effective leadership oversight responsibility within the education sector. And 10% is making good progress and 10% is good. And so it goes. And this also talks to the next slide, 26, on financial and performance management. And under financial and performance management, we look at proper record keeping. That is whether there are monthly accounts that are complete and accurate, that are credible and can be relied on, which is something that I spoke about. Processing and reconciliation controls, whether reconciliations are done regularly enough to make sure that the financial statements at year end are complete and accurate. And reporting, whether reporting is done periodically as required and is credible and reliable as well. Compliance with rules and regulations and IT systems, whether we have IT systems that can produce information that is credible and reliable. So it's just an indication, as I have explained, under leadership. And the same applies to the government governance issues. I think when we look at the bubble, there are entities where we said that audit committee was not functioning effectively, internal audit was not functioning effectively. The first column under governance, there's risk management, there's internal audit, there's audit committees. So it clearly links with what we have reported under root causes. Risk management, that 40% of the entities within the education sector, intervention is needed. Internal audit at 30% of the entities, intervention is required, and audit committees at 20% of the departments within the education sector is not functioning as it should. So that is in conclusion a summary of the audit outcomes, and we will now get into the sector-specific issues, the focus areas that I spoke about, seven focus areas that I spoke about.
In the education sector, we look at seven focus areas, and these focus areas were mainly informed by regular meetings that we had with National Treasury, where certain risks were brought to our attention, and we also looked at the allocation to these specific areas, and on the basis of the budget and the risks that were brought to our attention, we decided on these seven focus areas. We looked at HIV AIDS, life skills and education, we looked at nutrition programs, learner teacher support material, those are the textbooks, learner transport schemes, buses transporting learners at schools, allocation of funds to schools, technical secondary schools, recapitalization grants, and the big one, infrastructure. For the three grants, these were the allocation. We have a comparison, we move from 2.6 billion to 3.9 billion in the 2010-11 total for the three grants. And on the next slide, on HIV/AIDS focus area, here what we have done, we looked at the most common findings in all provinces. And the shaded areas in red indicate the findings at these specific provinces, where master trainers did not receive the training, educators did not receive the required training, and these are issues that are compliance to the DORA framework. So it made a compliance issue mapped to service delivery. So all shaded areas in red are the audit findings that were reported at these particular provinces. We can note that there are provinces that are doing fairly well, but exceeded 100. We also looked at the school nutrition program there where food is provided to the, those that are in need of schools to ensure effective participation in classrooms, and it is disappointing as well. There are two exception provinces there, and but overall in the education sector, the school nutrition program is not doing well. This is a challenge that requires intervention by leadership. Yes, the school nutrition program still continues. We had numerous findings on the school nutrition program, and looking at the cost involved, definitely leadership must intervene to address the challenges on this. The learner teacher support materials, these are the education tools, the textbooks, and looking at the expenditure of the textbooks versus the findings that we are reporting, it is worrying that in certain instances, certain books are not delivered in time, and that probably will have an impact on the outcome at the end of the academic year. This is something that requires immediate attention by leadership. There are numerous findings that are reported there. There are certain provinces that didn't have findings, but overall in the education sector, we need to be looking at these issues. I need to also indicate that we audit on a sample basis. If I say there's no challenge noted here, it doesn't necessarily mean there's no issue at that particular province. It could be that at the sample that we selected, we did not identify issues. But looking at the trend, you can see that there might be issues. It's just that at our sample at those specific provinces, we did not identify issues. Learner transport scheme, it is an initiative to make sure that every student can access school. The government is providing transport for these learners that are in need to make sure that there is classrooms, and we have identified findings that are posing risk to these learners on their traveling to school. And this is something that requires leadership intervention. We have noted in the past numerous media releases, accidents where learners were involved due to unroadworthy transport mechanisms. So we are saying leadership need to be addressing some of these issues, as they are supposed to be assisting students, but they are exposing them to certain risks. Learner transport scheme then continues also to the next slide. Like I indicated, if there's no finding in NEST, it doesn't necessarily mean that the province is doing well. It could be that at the sample that we tested, there were no issues identified. We also looked at the allocation of funds to schools as well. We are not yet there. Even though this shows a much better picture compared to the other focus areas, but leadership also needs to come to play and make sure that there is oversight monitoring to make sure that all these focus areas are a success, and also contributes towards quality basic education. Technical secondary school recapitalization, we had very few findings on this issue. This is one of the new focus areas that we started to look at in the 10-11 financial year, and we will be doing more work on this particular area in the 11-12 financial year. But given the risks that we have identified, we might be looking at a different picture when we present this report next year. Infrastructure is a challenge. We invested a lot of money as a government on infrastructure, and it is not yielding the results we would have expected. And these are the findings that we identified on infrastructure, which are a bit disappointing, particularly for government output one. We need to be intervening and making sure that we address these issues to make sure that there are enough classrooms that can accommodate all our learners, and we don't overload our teachers and classrooms with excessive number of learners in the schools. So leadership needs to intervene and make sure that these issues are addressed, given the financial injections to this particular area. In the past, this grant was driven from National Treasury, but from the 11-12 financial year, This will be driven from the National Department of Basic Education. We will be working closely with the department to look at the management of the infrastructure programs within the education sector. That summarized the 7 sector focus areas. We also looked at the 3 entities that relate to the Department of Basic Education. We looked at SAIS, we looked at UMALUSI, and Education Labor Relations Council. This is just a summary of the audit opinions that were given to them, where they all had unqualified audit opinions, but only one had no matters to report in the audit report, which is UMALUSI. The other two, ELRC and SAIS, had non-compliance matters that were also reported in the audit report. Education Labor Relations Council, we looked at 2.5 million irregular expenditure, which is quite a material amount for the size of that entity. We looked at fruitless and wasteful expenditure as well of 616,000, which is significant for the size of that entity. For Education Labor Relations Council, it is important that I indicate that if it was not for the audit effort, they would have not received an unqualified audit opinion. They were just on the edge of the qualification. The audit report was signed around the 18th of August. They had to request extension, and had we not agreed to that, we would have qualified the audit opinion. The irregular expenditures and wasteful expenditure were also informed by non-compliance with the procurement regulations. And financial statements, also we had a paragraph indicating that, you know, they were not in all material aspects presented as required by Section 55.1b. We had to put in a considerable effort to make sure that those financial statements were clearly stated. And share that with our presentation on the education sector. Thanks.
I might thank the IG's office because I think this is a really comprehensive report. And it really broadens your knowledge when it comes to reporting of the AG, you know, what they look at. So it will help the committee in the next financial year to look at the annual reports, to look at the AG too. I am going to ask any questions. Honorable James, Honorable Natisha, Honorable Mishwana, Honorable Marco Bella, and I suspect Honorable Gina Loss. Thank you. Gina Loss. Sorry for the English word. Honorable James.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your presentation. And I mean, the facts are here, and we're very pleased to see them. The question which comes partly from the chairperson's comment too about what we as a committee ought to do given our responsibility is an important one, so that we can better do the job that we're supposed to do. But I see that you say that one of the root causes of the defective financial statements on page 17 is its portfolio committee. That is, that we have a responsibility clearly to ensure that there's accountability. And that part of the governance problem is in fact rooted in the way in which this committee is doing its work. Could you please elaborate?
Thank you, Chair. It's quite difficult, I must say. I'm looking at the main objectives that are there before us, and one must agree wholly with that which has been put forward. And the conclusion that one will put before all of us is that the main objectives have not been attained. The people who have just made presentations, some of them, in actual fact, we are very happy. You have done very well. But then the main objectives, like I'm saying, like you say, have not been attained, mainly because of corruption, and you have put that on the table. And secondly, the the inability by those who are supposed to lead here who have not been able to do that at all. So that then comes back to us as this committee. What is it that has got to be done? There are some of the points that have been raised by the presenters here. Where they say we should do this, I'm sorry, that has not been obtained, and so on and so forth. But I am saying it basically comes back to us, Chair, to say what must be done really, because sheer corruption, sheer inability by those who are supposed to do their work, etc. I emphasize the issue of corruption because in the report here it is indicated that you know people who are in the leadership positions wherever they are, they shift everything, give the advantages, whatever is got to be bought, etc., to their to the members of their families, etc., etc. I will not go on and take a lot of time there. So, Chair, in reality, I believe that if it were possible, the meeting would end in the next coming 5 minutes, because we have that which we basically were supposed to get. It's a major problem. But secondly, last, Chair, what one does not understand between page 12 and 13, you talk of unauthorized clarity. I mean, I want to have clarity insofar as that is concerned, really. I can't understand it. However, we have a problem, Chair. Major, really. No improvement, all this kind of problems that are there. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Allow me also to add my voice, thanking the President for this comprehensive report. And for the first time, when I say comprehensive, I mean it. Because if I were I was in a classroom, for sure I'd come up with a pass. This other days, I listen and participate, but I'm not sure if I was going to get a pass. I think I understood what's happening here. But then, my understanding is that whatever we do, whatever meetings we embark on, it's towards the core function of education, and that's producing good results. Doesn't matter whether you approach it from the HIV side or the health side, wherever, but the core function of education definitely is learning and teaching. That's my understanding. And now, I want to check the ration. The rationale behind the findings of this unqualified audit. Every day when people talk of unqualified audit and people want to have this, and you want to be rated as unqualified always, because of course it's good, if it's unqualified, like you're reporting and stuff. But I'm checking the 9 provinces. Trust me, I'm trying to come with this from a philosophical point of view, and I think it's going to take us forward, that the 9 provinces, all of them, do not have a continuous unqualified audit report except one, and that's the Western Cape. I looked at that. All these others, maybe twice or once and stuff, except one. And despite that, I remember that during this past year, the results that were the best came from counting. And counting doesn't have a continuous. It's like, now I'm checking how we can relate these unqualified reports to results. Because my understanding is that each time we get unqualified reports, we must expect results to be excellent. All the time, no matter what, they have to be excellent. And now I'm checking if we have to rely on these unqualified reports that people are working on. Second, I agree with you on page 25, when you have rated the HR, the management, I've seen that 40% red. My understanding is that intervention is seriously required there. It's one thing to to come out with these findings? What's the way forward? I know perhaps it's not supposed to come with you because yours is to go and find out, but what proposals do you put in place to improve? Because we can't just go on receiving this kind of information and it does not add to improvement. Because, I mean, after all these, I think we should be getting even something like 80% passing all the provinces. Because it's like you're doing your job to inform whoever is to be informed, but I don't see how it is not working towards improving the result. And finally, your learner, you know, when you talked of 7 focal points, I said, oops, these ones are talking of everything except what we go to school to do, learn and teach. But when we came with the third focal point, learner teacher support material, I was very much interested. Yes, if these can be delivered on time, I don't know how one can emphasize it better. For sure, the results can be better. And I'm checking with you, what can be put in place to ensure that there are no excuses when we come to this one? Because learners go to school to learn. You can't do that if we don't have this in place. And I'm glad that the findings also talked of immediate attention. I'm interested in your immediate attention. Because I know it's not like you, but you are informing whoever is concerned to do something. But what can be done? Because for sure this country, where we're seated with, I want to believe, geniuses in school. These kids are far clever. If you can talk to this, to today's 5-year-old, you realize that they are born brilliant, you know. All they need is somebody to untap their brilliance, that it can be used to improve this country. And yeah, so those are my questions. And I think if we get answers to those, we definitely will have all 8 provinces with unqualified reports, which will be translated to better results. I thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Also, I would want to thank the AG for the comprehensive report that you have given us. And I think colleagues have already put the question, but yes, you have done your part. All that remains is at our level to want to ensure that certain things are done. And I won't necessarily go to a lot of other persons because we need to do what is here. But my first question will be, this kind of a report, have you shared it with any other person, not provinces and all? Have you shared this, say, with the leadership at the national level, or is the first time that you're presenting a report like this to us? Because I would then recommend that you may need, as is, to share it with the leadership in the ministry and the department. Give them this global view so that they get to understand exactly what is there. If they need any other information, they'll go to their provincial structures and so on. But at least you should paint this picture to them as you have done with us. The second question relates to the oversight structures, delayed action or oversight not being done by those who are supposed to do it. Amongst other things, Parliament is to do this oversight. And I take it was not included. When you talk oversight, you're talking those within the department and the ministry, isn't it? You're not talking delayed action in terms of oversight by Parliament. So we're nowhere featuring in this particular situation for now. And perhaps with time, you may want to factor in our Parliament oversight, its regularity and so on, just to be in the picture, because we can't be outside of what is going on. But I know that you take Parliament as something else and dealing with government at another level and all that, but somewhat we should relate to that one. The last one, which to me is the serious issue I'm raising, so I believe, is that somewhat you should be linking. There should be a way in which legally you link with relevant law enforcement agencies. Because if you find something to be a criminal issue, let me give a light one. You say bus drivers are found not to have got the required license, driver's license, and they are ferrying children to school. And we've got a lot of accidents that kill these young ones. Innocent lives lost because people don't have them. And we know it's wrong. You can't just say, this is what we have found out, the department should do something. We should be able to say, this is a criminal thing, and it's happening. If that needs SAPS or the OGS, or it needs public protector, how do you link with them? If you come here and say, we have found out that 90% of this corruption is through procurement and so on, and it has been highlighted as the high-risk area, how do you pass over that information without having to wait for somebody in the leadership of this institution who may want to protect their standing or image and may not want some of these things to happen? How do you do that? So, Chair, I'm just saying, at times this information the AG has, they've got this basis. It's simply to pass, although they've done some investigation, it's simply to pass over the relevant information to the law enforcement agencies than to want to wait for those in the leadership of Iraq to do that kind of work. Thanks.
Thank you.
Chair, I think the report you are getting is very good, and also at the same time, it's frightening. If we have, if we get so much loopholes and things that are not well done within the Department of Education, but I think it's becoming worse when you compare it to the other departments where you feel that even this education is a little bit better than what is happening in other departments, which I think we need to thank really this office for giving us that picture of what is happening in the country. But as other members have said, we should not just end there just knowing what is happening. This is an alarm that has been rang, so definitely something needs to be done. But again, what's your relationship with Treasury? If ever such a report is coming, you find provinces not even able to account, not even getting monies year in and year out, but you find you come up with such fine findings. When do we say we stop giving the provinces the monies that they cannot account for? Because really, in the findings that you are coming out, you look at the procurement management, you look at the expenditure management systems, they are just falling apart. If we say they're at 90% where they cannot account, so what is it that can be put in place, really, the advice from your office, so that we try by all means to keep what is happening? You look at the unuseful information that is coming from this department, it's growing. Next year, what is it that you need? So even the management that is there, I think it leaves much to be desired. And really, I feel maybe from your office, we can, yes, we have to sit down and do our work, everybody who is part of this, but what advice can you give if such a picture is being painted in the department? What is happening? Thank you, Chair, but really, I think it's a little bit frightening. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll allow the AG's office to answer the questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Before I go into answering the questions, Chairperson, when we go to the sector report, I just want to do a brief reflection on the sector report. We didn't do this, I wish we had, but I'll quickly just add it together. The findings highlighted the focus area and what the greater East province. And for the Eastern Cape being the highest, I come up with 25, and the second highest is Free State, and the third is the Northwest at 15, and the fourth is KZN. And then when we go to the financial outcomes, we realized that all of these provinces received modified audit opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I may, I know there was a question asked in relation to this, but I would just like to give a brief explanation. The outcomes that we presented on whether a province has a disclaimer of opinion, qualified opinion, or unqualified with findings or with no findings relates to financial statements. We have a slide that indicates how many departments received what opinion in relation to the predetermined objectives. However, we have not indicated which departments these are. Now, if we look at the financial outcomes that are reflected in the opinions that we have issued, this indicates that a specific department, when it comes to financial statements, are they accounting for their finances in the way that they should, and are there areas of concern? And this will come out in the audit opinion, being disclaimer, adverse, qualified or not qualified. Now, if we go to predetermined objectives, predetermined objectives talk to service delivery. And I think that addresses Honorable Mushwana's question in that, how do you link the two? And hence we now faced in this approach of auditing predetermined objectives, which reflects service delivery. Now, if we go and unpack the issues that relate to service delivery, it is presented in the slides. I must just find what the slide number is. And for the education sector, because this is very, very critical, we then zoom into these seven areas which we feel impact towards what we aim for being the learners in this country. And therefore, the core of the education sector, I believe, comes from the outcome of the sector report, which indicates which are the areas that we need to be concerned about. And again, when we do the internal controls that I spoke about, the leadership, the financial management, and the governance, we would break it into these three categories. So it will apply to financials, it will apply to predetermined objectives, it will apply to compliance, and we rate them accordingly. So the intervention required would indicate whether it's on the financial side, the predetermined objective side, or the compliance side. And this is intended to indicate to management that these are your areas of weakness, and this is what you need to put in place for you to be able to achieve a clean administration, which will enable you to deliver the service that you are mandated to by Parliament. And that's sort of the background that I just wanted to give before we go into responding to the question. If I can just start with the first one, Godfrey will assist me where I am. In terms of the root cause relating to the portfolio committee, this specifically related to the financial side. And what we are saying is that the portfolio committee, as an oversight committee, needs to hold departments accountable in terms of what they do. And we need to realize that this report is a report that comes from the provinces. So these root causes are the root causes that came from the provinces. So which means in terms of portfolio committees where these departments are residing, portfolio committee oversight is not happening at the level at which it is supposed to be happening. I think I must say that as far as our national oversight committees are concerned, there is great improvement in terms of how our oversight committees are functioning. And clearly there is a lot of work that still needs to be done to capacitate the oversight committees, and including the internal oversight committees at the departments, being the audit committees and all of those, to be able to function at the level at which they need to function. And what we are saying is, in holding departments accountable, there needs to be action taken to make sure that those that do not perform at the level that they should perform, action is taken. And it could be the people need training to be able to perform their functions. And as oversight committees, we need to make sure that such training is given where necessary. If discipline is needed, then discipline must be taken. And we need to hold departments accountable for that purpose. In relation to the in relation to the main objective, I think that was more a comment than a question. Main objective not attained, and the corruption and the inability of the leaders, as I have said. When we identify a deficiency or when we raise a finding, we will indicate what the root cause is. And if we say the root cause is leadership, we will then give a recommendation in terms of what action does management need to take. At the end of the audit process, once we've issued the final management report, we require management to draw up an action plan to address all the findings that we have raised, and addressing specifically the root causes. For argument's sake, if there is a finding that there was a material misstatement that was not identified, and we are saying that the root cause is reconciliations were not done on a monthly basis as required, which points out to financial and performance management. And then, and further to that, leadership did not perform their oversight role to make sure that these reconciliations are done on a monthly basis. Then we say to the department, you need to develop an action plan to make sure that this happens. So the action plan would be that reconciliations will be done, and a specific level will then check these reconciliations and approve them or authorize. And they need to then evaluate themselves. The audit committee evaluates this on a monthly basis because progress is reported. Internal audit will go and make and check whether the action plan has been implemented and is being carried out, so that when we come in and do our review, then that has been checked by internal audit. It has been verified by audit committee as well, and we come and verify if indeed it has been working the way it has been working. The explanation of unauthorized expenditure on page 12 and 13, can I give that to Godfrey to respond to?
Let me first address the irregular expenditure. We noted numerous non-compliance instances relating to human resources and also relating to compliance with laws and regulations on procurement and supply chain management. And if certain processes are not followed when procuring using public funds, that needs to be quantified and be reported fairly in the financial statements as a regular expenditure, showing that we as a department did not follow the correct processes. In some instances, there can be reasons why the procurement process was not followed,
and there are treasury regulations and practice notes that are issued by treasury indicating specific processes that need to be followed in cases of emergency and in cases where we cannot follow the correct process of supply chain and management. If we need to acquire goods and services and the time does not allow to go for a tender, treasury is lenient to give guidance to say it is when it can happen, and if it happens, this is what you need to be doing. And those are not happening. And these entities are not going back to review their processes, to review their expenditure, to say, yes, and we have procured, and we are being honest, to say we have not followed the process, and these are the reasons. If you can justify it, I can understand it, and it is reasonable. Should not be a regular expenditure if the current process was followed. Now the challenge comes when entities are reporting certain amounts to say, yes, there is progress and wasteful expenditure, this is irregular expenditure or unauthorized expenditure, but the completeness is in question. And that requires the audit effort to bring it to light to say, actually, we have not reviewed all your transactions. There is something that you are not bringing to the public or to the users of the annual report to show them that this is the actual correct state of affairs as far as procurement is concern in the education sector. The only challenge with irregular expenditure is that in 9-10 we did not split this irregular expenditure to indicate that this is what required the audit effort and this is what was disclosed when the financial statements were presented for audit. We only started with that process in the 10-11 year. Where we show that if it was not for the audit effort and had management not adjusted 4.3 billion worth of expenditure, irregular expenditure, we would have qualified these entities that are affected on the completeness of irregular expenditure. And it is only that they accepted the audit finding and they knew the implications of not adjusting the financial statements. And they decided to adjust the financial statements, but we still reported it on our audit reports to say this particular department incurred so much irregular expenditure. We are looking at the qualitative materiality as well. Say we should not have irregular expenditure. There is a process to be followed if you can't follow the correct legislation of procurement.
On the core function, I think it's the basis of what I have explained when I started, and I hope I did address the question that was raised. But if we look at slide 18, which indicates the number of entities that got modified opinions with regards to predetermined objectives, there's 7 departments that received modified opinions on predetermined objectives, and as I said, we did not name them. And there's 3 departments that received clean outcome on predetermined objectives. And again, if we relate it to the outcomes that I have just summarized, indicating how many of these findings, excluding infrastructure, how many of the sector report findings, how many entities received the biggest number of findings on the sector report. I honestly believe that we come up with sort of the same departments that were financially qualified, which means we can see in some instances we find that entities focus on financials, on getting financials correct, and they ignore service delivery. And you will find that even though they receive financially unqualified opinions, when you go to predetermined objectives, they have big problems. But in this sector, you sort of find that there is a correlation where they have financially modified opinions, they have issues on predetermined objectives, they have issues on the sector focus areas as well. So the leadership issues, it's clear they are across the three areas: financial, predetermined objectives, and compliance. And I think chairperson, I think it will be we'll go unless if we do not allow the portfolio committee to give us input into the sector focus area so that we can bring out things that are of concern to the portfolio committee through our sector report. We are actually in the process of planning for next year's sector report, so I think this is the ideal time for the portfolio committee to then give us input on what area specifically to look at. However, we don't want to make it a long list because it's a focused area. We want to have a list that is manageable that we can then zoom into and bring out the real issues that should come out. And again, in terms of what we have presented, if there is anything specific that the portfolio committee feels that if we look at the learner material for argument's sake, if there's something that's not coming out in this report that you'd like us to look at, then you can point it out so that we can then add it to our procedures for next year. In terms of the internal control evaluation and how we can improve, I think I've also addressed that to an extent because I said when we raise a finding, we give recommendations and they are focused, they are specific, and we insist on specific action plans, action plan that's specific to a finding that we have raised and that addresses the root cause that we have raised. And what we also do, we've gone to the extent of meeting with the accounting officers, with the ministers, and requested them to make commitments to supporting the officials in meeting these action plans that they have then developed to address the findings that we have raised. In terms of the learner-teacher material, what can be improved? Again, it goes back to the recommendations that we have given to the department and the action plan that they need to draw up. And again, if I may say that one of the issues that we've raised on portfolio committee oversight is that the action plans are not reviewed. I'm of the opinion that the portfolio committee, they know that the areas that are concerned to them. And if a department has developed an action plan and they have implemented it, they need to account to the portfolio committee and give progress. And as I've said, credibility and reliability of this information that is presented to the portfolio committee must be something that is on the agenda of all levels within a department. We shared the report with the leadership in the department. Yes, we have discussed the report with the DG at National Office at length. The report has been shared with the provinces to share with the leadership in the provinces. We haven't had an opportunity to present the report to the minister. We are in the process of finalizing the report, but the DG has given us sign-off on the report. There was a question on oversight structure, delayed action. I think on the finances I have indicated that it does include portfolio committees at provincial level, and in terms of the other areas where we talk about oversight committees, we do include the portfolio committee. It definitely is the oversight committees within the department, your audit committees, but to an extent it also includes the portfolio committee in the context that I have indicated earlier, that the portfolio committees in the provinces, they need to hold departments accountable in terms of areas of concern that have been raised. What is our relationship with the law enforcement? Can I just also give a bit of background here? When we go in and do the audit, we need to remember that we audit history and we report on history. And I think the Honourable Member is making a good point in that perhaps we need to think about investigations in these areas so that we can report accordingly and report to the law enforcement structures. However, when we audit them in the context in which we audit in them, which is the audit process, We believe that we report to the minister to take appropriate action. We make recommendations to them to put in place appropriate action to address these deficiencies that we have identified, and we also report to Parliament to also hold departments accountable and to follow up and make sure that these departments act within the law. I think we perhaps need to explore the possibility of what needs to be investigated and at what level. The relationship with the National Treasury is quite interesting because it goes hand in hand with the powers, the roles and responsibilities of the Portfolio Committee in terms of what action can the Portfolio Committee and National Treasury take against departments that are not performing and are not doing what they are supposed to be doing. If we take DORA for argument's sake, DORA has specific requirements that if a province does not do A, B, C, D, the transferring department can stop the transfers. However, those requirements are quite onerous. The transferring department cannot just stop because there are certain actions that must be put in place by the transferring department before they stop transferring the funds. And I don't have an answer for that. But we do report in terms of DORA, and where DORA has not been complied with, there is a finding that there are also limitations on the part of the transferring department, when holding funds. But I also believe that the Portfolio Committee has powers, roles and responsibilities in relation to making recommendations within their powers, and we need to perhaps explore these powers that the Portfolio Committees have to put some disciplinary measures in place. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. There is something that I want to know. Because when it comes to the predetermined objectives, the way I understand, that's actually just the living that you are auditing. And at the moment, it's not in the AG's report, but like you say, in the management report. Now we come to the administrative duty and then the executive authority. The administrative, like the HLD, or the DG, is responsible for output. And the executive authority knows what is the impact, and the impact is service delivery, the outcome. So I want to know, when it comes to the performance agreement of the minister with the president, how does it into your audit report? You know, do you take that to as part of your audit when you do your audit?
Thanks, Chair. Chairperson, no. We do not audit the performance agreement of the minister. What we audit is the stress plan of the department. However, at some of our departments, what we have done, we tested alignment of the minister's contract to the strike plan. And in most cases, we found that they were aligned. But the legislative document that we test is the strike plan of the department. And I believe that if the two are aligned in a way, yes, we would be. But directly, no, we don't audit the performance contract of the minister.
I think let us round off. Because with what you're saying, you are correct. Because when it comes to the stress plan that the department brings to the committee, then the researchers look whether it is aligned to the performance agreement. But then your worry will be
underlined. What then, you know, then we as a committee, we have to say, what do we do about it? Because that's how when it comes to education, education is aligned. And I think, like, we spoke about what ought to be. And that is important. Because if we do get caught later, so I think the committee will know now how important those quarterly reports are. And then even when it comes to the internal audit, you know, to have an internal audit committee. Because I think, like when we had ELRC, the committee should remember, there was something that I called unintended consequences. You know, when it comes to that fruitless expenditure, where it's related to accommodation and to workshops, and then people don't turn up, and those things are painful. And ELRC just nonchalant and tell us, but we can't help it. And their processes, and there were internal controls and the irregular expenditure. And I said in this meeting, you know, in the rounding off, that in the conclusion, that if that is going to continue, even at unintended consequences, they're going to sit with a qualified report. And it's going to turn out afterwards into adverse and then a disclaimer if they are not going to rectify that. So we are correct in the way you foresaw it. You know, they were working on that qualified report and then they went into the unqualified report with emphasis on that. Then the other one that I congratulated the committee on was the alignment, I think was the budget, to the annual performance plan. It was a SACE, I think. It was the predetermined objectives. And then SACE made, they admitted in the meeting that they said at the beginning of the year to them. And then the auditor picked the same thing up. So it shows that at least the committee is seeing certain things. And then the other things that they also have is the in-year monitoring. Because when it comes to the in-year monitoring, department will see whether they're going to overspend or underspend. Because you can have the trend, and that you measure within your quarterly report. And then when it comes to like your PFMA, treasury regulations, you know, and looking at DORA itself, if needs be, we as a committee can ask the charges. Because look at the PFMA, very plain section 58, what is the responsibility of the HOD of the department? What disciplinary action has to be taken. I think it's further on procurement, I think it's about 10, this is section 75, what should be done. So if we think the department is not working within the law, then we can recommend that due processes should follow. And when a committee says due processes should follow, then we must know it's a serious thing. Because the department just looked at me, and I'm not going to mention the problems when I say due processes have to follow. And it's going to follow if the department don't come back to us. It's not straight from us, but people have to do their work. Then when it comes to SCOPA makes their recommendations. Because here there's like steps in parliament that we follow, although we can do our own too. And I think what's going to be important when it comes to SCOPA, they have this APAC workshop. But it's only normally all the SCOPA committees of the different provinces that go to it. And I think we should ask when they have this, can't it take some people from the committee to go? Because they have a module 1, 2, 3, and 4 as they do. I did all 4 when I was in the legislature. And it's not so difficult because they make you to understand oversight. And then that is going to help you with your oversight. when it comes to oversight in general, even when it comes to scopers, you know, what do they really do? Because you can pick up different things when it comes to the report and you sit in a scoper meeting. Although sometimes, you know, they'll prefer the members of scoper to speak, but we have a right to speak there too, you know, and tell them how we feel about things. And then, you know, that, yes, we do care, we can recommend for non-compliance. And then when it comes, what this is going to help us with too, as when it comes to the provinces, because you always hear, you know, I want to know what's the link of the report, our national department with the provinces. Because look at, they have to oversee that amount, because a football share goes to provinces. Conditional grants goes to provinces. So they have to oversight what is happening to that money. And even like there is a place we're going to call in within our program, our different chairpersons of the provinces. And we can speak to these things, because if there's a problem within a department or entity, they have to put, like, it's an action plan, like some people call it a turnaround plan, in place, and that has to be looked at to see whether it's really working and whether you can change it. Because if you look at, I think in Parliament, it was the gender, the Commission on Gender Equality, there were problems, you know, when it came to their finances. And then that turnaround strategy in place. And, you know, those are things that we should look at too when it comes to turnaround strategies within the department. And then we can also speak to, you know, other things that, when it comes to, besides other things that they should do. And then also, like, I think the question that was asked, the assistance, when it comes to us as this committee, what assistance are you giving to those provinces? That, you know, when it comes to the AG's report, or the, you can say provinces that's not complying. So I think I'm going to end on that note. And I must say, like, we do ask when a department is bad for forensic investigations, the legal side. But normally it's very expensive, you know, to do a forensic investigation, because it's either the AG's office, because it's just Chapter 9 institutions that does it, or it is the public protector's office, you know, if there's investigation. Because I know with the Commission on Gender Equality, the AG did the financial side, and the protector did, like, just the ordinary side of things. So with those few notes, I'd like to thank, because I think it was a privilege for us to have the AG's office here today, that we can end of our beautiful R report, you know, to tell us what is happening in the provinces. So we're all now aware of what our duties or responsibilities ought to be. And then I'd like to thank the committee and Uncle Jake. I think I'm not going to allow you to speak.
I'll
do want to make a recommendation. I'd like me, yes. And then I'll make a decision on it.
I'd like to recommend that the committee meet in a closed session for 10 minutes in the light of what we've heard.
How does the committee feel?
Perhaps because we don't know, it's
what
difficult to say no to it. We can readily remain. We'll take a decision as we have the issue.
Fine. Then
we'll
have yes to that. And then I think, you know, it was my train of thought. And then even when it comes to the committee, we have to thank the portfolio committee for the work they are doing, because really they are oversighting, and especially when it comes to our research team and the content advice, the administrators, they normally help us what these different things to look at, you know, what is important. Because when it comes to your report, they always bring up quite a number of things. And I'm glad that you're referring, because I went through the management report of safety yesterday, you know, just to see what are they reporting. So I'd like to thank you, and the meeting is closed, and people may leave. It's only the committee that's going to remain. Thank you.
The committee just remained while the other are